Okay, good morning. Welcome to our monthly Chodesh, Rosh Chodesh. Well, not really this month, but welcome to our Chodesh year at the Young Israel of Woodmere. So we're like that. We're between, because we passed by Asar B'Teves. Kislev is obviously over. We passed by Asar B'Teves. It's not Shvat. So when I was choosing what to focus on, I thought it would be appropriate to look in the parasha. I always like to tie it in either to Inyanei D'Yoma or to something coming up in the parasha Shavua. So something I'm going to be relating it to the parasha. So of course, this coming week, we just said Chazak, Chazak, Venis Chazek yesterday, and this coming week we will be beginning Sefer Shemos and Parsha Shemos. This book is also known as Sefer HaGeula, the book of redemption. It is quite a moving, like all the Chamisha Chumshei Torah books of Torah are. I'm going to begin by quoting the Ramban to his introduction to Sefer Shemos, and he discusses what is the nature of Geula. The book is known, all the books of Torah have an appellation, so Bereishis is Sefer Yetzirah, and Sefer Yashar, Sefer HaSimanim, and Vayikra is Torah's Kohanim, and Bamidbar is Sefer Pikudim, and Devarim is Mishnah Torah, Moshe's review of Torah. So why is Shemos known as Sefer HaGeula? The book of names is also known as the Book of Redemption. So I'm going to begin by quoting the Ramban. Hishlim hakasuv Sefer Bereishis. We finished with Sefer Bereishis. So who's Sefer HaYetzirah? That is one of the appellations for Bereishis. Sefer HaYetzirah, the Book of Creation or Formation. B'chidush ha'olam, it is the renewal of the world. B'yetziras kol notzar, and the creation of every created being. And the stories of B'mikre ha'avo, Shehem ki'inyan yetzir lezaram, and the stories of the patriarchs, because the patriarchs formed or fashioned for their offspring. B'pneisha kol mikre everything that happens in Sefer Bereishis is an allusion to what would happen to the progeny in the future. So we finished Bereishis, we have Yetzirah, we have Sefer Simanim, we finished. V'achrei shehishlim ha-Yetzirah, after we finished talking about creation, hitchil Sefer Acher, we start a new Sefer. Which Sefer is that? This Sefer Shemos, binyan ha-maise ha-ba, min ha-ramazim ha-heim, the matter or the actions that happen based on those illusions. So for example, there was a famine in the land, Avram goes down to Egypt, Perikid Beis, and then there's a famine in the land, and the Bnei Yisrael, the Bnei Yaakov, go down to Egypt. And now in our parsha, we're going to read about our sojourn in Egypt, because from all of those illusions in Sefer Bereishis, you have the stories of Sefer Shemos. We read about the first national galus. We're going to be opening up this coming week, and you're going to read about the Shibud Mitzrayim. Hanigzar b'feirush, that was decreed explicitly to Avram in the Bris Bein HaBesarim. Ubigo'ula mimenu. But not only do you read about the galus, you also read about the Geula, the redemption. We read about not only Shiva Mitzrayim, but we read about Yitzias Mitzrayim v'lachayin chazer v'hatchil b'shemos yordei Mitzrayim. And that's why in Sefer Shemos, if you open up, you will see that the book of Shemos begins with telling you, Eile Shemos b'nei Yisrael habam Mitzrayimah. These are the names of the children of Israel who came to Egypt. Yaakov, each man in his household. And the Pasuk says, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvon, Binyamin. I'm not just listing the tribes. I'm quoting from the first psukim of Sefer Shemos, Dan, Naphtali, God, Asher. So you have a listing of the names of those who came down to Mitzrayim. Even though those names were already listed in the book of Bereishis, we mentioned in Parsha class that we saw, they didn't come down now. When did Yaakov and his household come down? At the end of Bereishis, when you have the reunion between Yaakov and the Shvatim and Yosef. However, their coming down is the beginning of the Galus. When they come down, that is when the exile begins. When is the Galus complete? So if the Geula ended with Yitzias Mitzrayim, then Sefer Shemos would end by Parshas Peshach. We had finished Peshach, we left, we crossed the sea, we're free. So now it should be the end of Sefer Shemos, you understand? If Sefer Shemos is also Sefer HaGeula, then Geula means redemption. So you should have Shemos, Va'era Bo, are the two parashios of the Makos. So Va'era Bo, Yitzias Mitzrayim, Peshalach, and that's it. Finished. But it's not, so what comes next? Yisroel Mishpatim, which is Matan Torah. After Yisroel Mishpatim, what other main topic do we have in Shemos?
Mishkan.
The Mishkan. So therefore, says the Ramban, Hine Hagalus Eino Nishlam. The Galus Eino Nishlam. The exile is now completed. Ad Yom Shebom El Mikomam Ve'El Malos Avosam Yeshuvu. We are still in exile until we return to the level of our forefathers. We were still in exile even after we left Mitzrayim. He's going to say that b'feirush. U'kishayatu mi'mitzrayim, when we actually left Egypt, bo and b'shalach, afal pishayatu mi'beis avadim, even though we left the house of slavery, adayin yechashvu golim, we were still considered exiles. Even though we left physically the shackles of Egypt, we were not free. Ki hayu be'eretz lo lahem. We were still in the land that was not ours. Nevuchim bamidbar. We were wandering. We were confused. Vayishusha nevocha. We were straying. We were lost. We were confused in the desert. So the Rambam proves to you that just because we physically left Egypt on Leil Yetzias Mitzrayim in Parshas Bo, and just because we physically crossed the Reed Sea in Parshas B'shalach, are we free? He just said we're not free. We're straying in a land that is not ours. That in the desert, Ukishabo El Har Sinai, when we came to Har Sinai, Va'asu Mishkan, these are the next main topics. Yisro Mishpatim is Har Sinai, Chumetetzava Kitiso Vayakob Bakude is Malachas HaMishkan, when we came to Har Sinai and we made the Mishkan, Vishav HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'Hashara Shchinaso Beinehem, and that was the whole purpose of the Mishkan, it was to bring Mishkan, Shchinah, Shachain, it was to bring the Kavod of Hashem, the honor of God, back down amongst us, Az Shavu Al Malas Avosam. Then we return to the level of our forefathers, who were the Merkava Lashchina. The Shechina dwelled in their homes. That's exactly what the Ramban next says. Shahaya Sod Eloka Ale Ahalehem. The presence of God was over the tents of the patriarchs and the matriarchs. They became the Merkava, the chariot or the vehicle where God dwelt, so to speak. Az Nechshavu Geulim. So what's the Ramban really teaching you here? And Sefer Shemos, if you want to know what the process of Geula entails, it does not just entail leaving the slave labor yards where they were building the pyramids. It does not just entail leaving the Nilus River where they threw the babies, which we're going to read about in this week's parasha. It is much longer process than that. It includes receiving the Torah, building the Shechina, building the Mishkan, so that the Shechina could dwell over our persona within us once again. We return to the level of the patriarchs. Once we return to the level of the patriarchs, Nechshavu Geulim, then we were truly considered to have been redeemed. So yes, Yisro Mishpatim, Chumet, Tetzava, Kitiso, Vayakob, Bekud, they fit perfectly into this picture of Geula. And therefore, V'lakein Nishlam HaSefer HaZepa Shlimo Inyan HaMishkan. That is why the book of Shemos begins with the Shibud and ends with Malachas HaMishkan, because the Kavod of Hashem was full in the Mishkan, Tamir, always and consistently. That's the truest Geula. The truest Geula is bringing the Ribono Sheolam into our lives. And so it doesn't end after B'shalach. The truest Geula, of course we need and want and daven for physical freedom. But if we are only physically free and spiritually shackled, we are truly considered still in Galus. We must receive the Torah and accept the Torah and build an abode where the Ribono Shel Olam can dwell. So Shemos, names are very important. We see in Tanakh that any time someone has a name, it is not just given, the child is not just given a name. Noach Zayinachamenu Mi'itzuvan Yadenu. Avram will be the Av Hamon Goyim Nisaticha Kol Shomea Yitzachakli. Kisarisa Imelokim Vanashim Vatuchal, the name Yisrael. Even Isha, Kimeish Lukachazos, Al-Kain, therefore she is called Isha. Zos Hapam Yilave Ishi Eli, by Levi. So you see that names are very significant. By Yosef, Asaf Elokim Etcher Pasi, Yosef Hashem Li Ben Acher. Names are very significant, so they take the book of Shmos. That means there's something to be learned from the fact that names have great significance. On the other hand, and this is very famous, that's a famous Maisa and Vard, and this will really be the springboard into today's shir. In a book called Names, there are hardly any names. And some of you are smiling because I'm sure you've heard this said before because it is very well known. So, for example, I'm just going to quote, just to give you an example of what I mean. So after it tells you the names of the Shvatim who came down to Egypt, then the Shibud Mitzrayim begins. He talks about the Bnei Yisrael Paro, who are great. However, here we go. Okay, I'm just going to quote a few of the Psukim. As before, you're talking about a nation, but you're not talking about individuals. They were worked with backbreaking labor, and the king of Egypt said to them, even though they are giving names, these are not their real names. He said to the midwives of the Hebrews, and he uses nicknames for them. When you see on the birthing stool, if it is a boy, you shall kill him. And the Mialdos, again, not their specific names, feared God. They did not do like Pharaoh spoke to them. And the king of Egypt calls to the Mialdos, and he says, why did he do this? And they said, the Jewish women are like animals, they don't need our help. And the nation continued to spread very, very much. So what you see is that in a book of names, in the beginning of the story especially, you do not have any names identifying the characters. Perek Beis Pasuk Aleph. Vayelech Ish Mi Beis Levi. It's so famous. I'm sure you've heard this. Vayikach Bas Levi. A man went from the house of Levi. He took a daughter of Levi. Vatahar Ha'isha. What is her name? Vatele Bein. What is his name? Vatere Oso. Who did she see? Kitovu. Vatitzbineu. She hid him. Shlosha Yirachim. What is it called? Proper nouns? The name is the proper noun. There are no proper nouns. And she cannot hide him anymore. She makes a little teva for him. She puts the child by the reed. So who is the child? What are the names? Vatesatsev Achoso Miracho. What is the sister's name? To know what will be done to him. To who? Bas Paro comes down. What is her name? Isn't it unbelievable? In a book of names, I mean, the book is called Sefer Shemos. Who are these people? It's a book full of anonymous people. And she sees the teva, and she sends forth her hand. She takes it. She sees the yelad. There is a lad crying. She has mercy, and she says, this is a Hebrew child. And the sister says to the princess, again, no names. Interesting, the first name you actually see, of course, is Moshe. Very interesting. And even before that, she says, shall I call you a wet nurse from the Hebrews? And she calls his name Moshe. Kimin Hamayim Mishisihu. It wasn't those days. So Moshe has a name. Moshe grows up. He goes out to his brothers. And he sees an Ish Mitzri striking an Ish Ivri. Once again, no names. The second day he goes out, he sees two Hebrews quarreling. In a book of names, when names play such a prominent role in Am Yisrael, in the definition of our people, Shmuel, Kimi Hashem, Sha'altiv, I requested him from God, we see that names are virtually absent as the narrative of Sefer Shmos unfolds, but it's specifically called names. So, Vayomer Melech Mitzrayim. So we have to uncover and discover what is our path to Geula and how do we attain redemption if in the book of redemption, the book of Shmos, everyone seems to be anonymous. And what really is the Torah telling us here? How do we define ourselves? How do we make our names? How do we make ourselves a vehicle, like the Ramban says, where the Shechina will dwell? How do we move from a book without names to finding our name and effecting redemption? Who were Shifra and Pua? So I quoted that pasuk, and I mentioned that in the Torah text, we do not have names for them. The king of Egypt says to the midwives of the Hebrews, Asher Shem Ha'achas Shifra, V'Shem Hashenis Pua. Very famous. So Rashi says, who was Shifra? Yochaved. Al Shem Shemisha Peres as Havalad. She would beautify Shifra. She would make the child beautiful. And if Shifra is Yochaved, then Pua is Miriam. Shapo al Midaberes Vahogal of Alad. She would cry and talk to and coo to the child. Kederach Hanashim, like the way of woman. Hamifaisos Tino Kabocha. Who appease or cry to or coo to a crying baby. So who are the Mialdos and Ivrios? The Torah does not actually call them by their names. It rather calls them by the definition of their task. There are Miriam and Yochaved, not in that order. They are not called by their names, rather they are called by the task that they do. So I looked up in Medrash Shemos Rabbah to see what the Medrash has to say. I've mentioned before that the godless of Rashi is that he can give you a whole lesson in a very concise statement or phrase. But really, almost always, Rashi is quoting a much larger teaching from Chazal, and he, for us, becomes the concise notes to help us learn Parsha. So, the Medrash Shemos Rabbah, okay? 1:13. Kishara'a shehim parim viravim gazar al hascharim. When Paro saw that after propaganda, havanis chakmalo pen yirba, va'ala min ha'aretz, after tax, the special Jew tax that they had to pay, sarei misim, lamana noso bisuvlosam. And after the backbreaking labor of building Pisom and Ramses, called Voda Sher Avdu Behem Befarach, so he establishes a whole propaganda machine like Joseph Goebbels, Yimach Shmo, and then he establishes special financial tax upon the Jews for living in his land, and then he institutes slave labor, but something very strange happens. Kasher Yanu also Kain Yifrods, Vakain Yirbed. The more they afflict us, the stronger they become. So now he moves to the last resort. What's the last resort? Nothing else is working. So what am I going to do? Kill them. Kisharashahim Parim Viravim Gazar Al Hashkarim. When he sees that they are fruitful and they are multiplying, he finally decreed death. Like the Pasuk says, Vayomer Melch Mitzrayim Lumialdos Haivrios, Uri Isam Al Havnayim. When you see on the birthing stone, Im Benhu, what shall you do? Vahamitem Oton. Mace. When you see it's a boy who's born, you should kill him. So the Medrash says, Mihayu Hamialdos. Who were the Mialdos? So first of all, interesting, there's a different opinion. It was one opinion says it was who? Does anyone know? Very nice. Rav Amar, Kala Vachamosa, a daughter-in-law and her mother-in-law, Yochaved, the Elisheva Baskaminadav. Who was Elisheva married to? Aaron. That's exactly right. So another opinion says, Rav Shmuel Bar Nachman Omer, Isha Uvita Yochaved and Miriam. So according to the first opinion brought down in the Medrash, which is not the commonly accepted opinion, as the Medrash goes on to expound the reasons that they were called Shifra and Pua, it's really focusing on Yochaved and Miriam. But Rav does say it was Yochaved and the wife of Aaron, Elisheva Bas Aminadav. However, the other opinion is it was a mother and her daughter, Yochaved and Miriam, which is what Rashi quotes on the Chumash. So then the Medrash says, "V'lo hayu leMiriam ela chamei shanim." How old was Miriam at this time? 5 years old. She'arn gadol miMoshe gimoshanim. Aaron was older than Moshe by 3 years. Moshe was just born, which means Miriam was only five. So how could this be? I'm a Rebbe. Say, well, anyone who has seen a five-year-old girl with a baby knows that it could be very, very possibly. If you've seen your two-year-old niece or granddaughter holding a baby on her hip, the doll. So by five, they know exactly what to do. I'm a Rebbe. Say, nuzichronam levracha holachas haisa im yochaved ima. The Medrash says it's not a kasha. She would go with her mother, even if they could bring the diapers, they could do the wipes, they could certainly coo to the baby. It's not even, you know, you say Rivka was three, that I have a little bit more of a difficulty understanding exactly what the Medrash means, that Rivka was three. But tell me, at the age of five, that Miriam was able to help her mother to coo to the babies, it's really not hard. Maybe it's hard for a man to understand how that could be possible. No, I'm not trying to make a joke. I'm being serious, actually. But it's not hard for any of us to understand that a five-year-old little girl could coo and help her mother clean the baby. It makes a lot of sense. And the Medrash says, "Lechas haisa im Yochaved ima." She would go with Yochaved, her mother. But also tracha, and whatever needed to be done, she would do. V'haisa ziriza. She had zrizas. She had alacrity. They love to help. Could he bring the diapers? Could he bring the passy? They're so excited. Bring the blankie. Sha'ad shahatino katan hu knikar. When a child is young, his personality is already discernible. It was discernible that Miriam had this type of personality. Amazing. The Medrash continues. Eshem ha'acha shifra. Shahaisa mishaperes es hatinok. She would beautify and clean up the child. Kishu yotse male dam. The baby would come out. It would be covered in blood, and she would make the child very beautiful. Pua. Why was she called Pua? So the Medrash gives different reasons. Shahaisa no fa'as yayin batinok achar ima. She would pour wine onto the baby after her mother had beautified him. That's one reason. Davar achar shifra sheparu viravu yisrael ala. Another reason that she was called Shifra, the mother, Yochaved, was because Shifra from paru, pei resh, the Israel was fruitful because of her. They were fruitful and they multiplied. She wasn't killing the babies. She enabled them to be fruitful and multiply. Pua shahaisa mapia esatino kishahayu omrimes. She would cause the face of the baby to shine. Mapia, people would say, oh, he died, and she would say, he did not die. Look at this shining baby. Davar acha shifra shashipra maaseh lefnei Elokim. She beautified her actions before God. Davar Acher Pua Shahofia es Yisrael Elokim. She enlightened Israel to the ways of God. So what's interesting is that you see when you go back to the source that Rashi is quoting, it's much lengthier than when Rashi actually quotes on the Chumash. Many different reasons, as we are explaining and quoting, giving for their names. Davar achar pua shehofia panim kineged paro vizakva chotmaba. She showed her face towards Paro. She was chutzpahdik, so to speak. She turned up her nose to him. She was a chutzpahdik person, pua, Miriam. Va'amralo, oi lo lo oso ha'ish kesheyavahu alokim lipar mimenu. Why was Miriam called pua? She would say to Paro, woe unto you when God comes to exact revenge from you. And he became very angry. Nismal le'achema lahargo. So Paro wanted to kill him. This 5-year-old kid is speaking back. This little Jew child is speaking back and saying, wait till Hashem comes to get back at you. So what did her mother do? Shifra shahaislam mishaparis al divrei bita umifayasas Allah. Why was the mother called Shifra? She amended her daughter's words and she pacified Paro. According to this interesting example, Miriam would speak up before Paro. She had a certain Jewish chutzpah in a very positive way. And she would say, God's going to come and get you. And her mother would pacify who? Paro. Don't worry, she doesn't mean it. Amarlo, the mother says to Paro, Ata mashkiach ala. Don't pay any attention. Ata mashkiach ala, it's a question. Ata mashkiach ala. Paro, the mighty ruler, are you really paying attention to a 5-year-old? Tino kesi. The Eno Yodas Kum, we still do this today. A child says something and you're mortifiedly embarrassed. How come my kid have just said that to this person? What do you say? It's nothing. They don't know any better. That's how kids talk. You see, everything's really in the Torah. It's true that 5-year-old children, girls, can beautifully take care of a baby. They know exactly how to coo and beautify. So I can tell them pour wine. They'll be happy to pour wine all over the baby. You tell them get the ball. They'll do exactly what needs to be done. We also see that these children still retain a measure of chutzpah. And the mother says, don't worry, don't worry. Oh, it's not going to be. Okay. The Medrash then says, another reason she is called Pua, Shahofia panim kineged aviha. She showed her face to her father. Now, some of you may be familiar with this. A few years ago in Parsha class, we learned it inside from Masechta Sota, Yud Beis. The Medrash tells a little bit of a different version over here. Some of you may be familiar and remember that Miriam said to her father, you're worse than Paro. So the Medrash says another reason she's called Pua, Shehofia panim kineged aviha. Her father, the Gemara says there in Sota, her father was the Gadol Hadar. The term Gadol Hadar is not something we have just come up with. It was a term of Chazal as well. And the Gemara says Amram was the Gadol Hadar. And the Medrash gives a slightly different version, but the same basic story. Shehaya Amram Rosh Sanhedrin. So the Gemara says he was the Gadol Hadar. The Medrash says he was Rosh Sanhedrin. He was obviously one of the most prominent Jews, the Israelites, in the time of Shiva Mitzrayim. But also Shah, he was the head of the Jews at that time. Kevan Shagazar Paro. Paro comes up with this decree of infanticide. Call it Ben HaYilad or Tashlichu. Forget it. Everyone into the river. Amar Avram, Amram. Amram says, Vilarik Yisrael Molidim. For nothing, for emptiness, Israel giving birth. So what was he saying? What is the point of having children? The Lashon of the Gemara is Lashav Anu Amelim. So whether it's, we're working for nothing, there is no point in this. So what did he do? Miyad Hotzias Yochaved Uperosh Asmo Mitash Mishamita. So we know that he separated from his wife. You see how important it is to learn Torah Shebichtav with Torah Sheba'al Peh. We are not the tzedukim who only hold of the Torah Shebichtav. You can't learn Torah Shebichtav without Torah Sheba'al Peh. So he separates from his wife. Interestingly, the Medrash says she was already 3 months pregnant when he separated from her. You've heard this? That's why you're not eight? The Medrash goes on to say, Geirash es ishto kishihimu beres mishlosha chadashim. She was already 3 months pregnant. But the footnote in the article Medrash says, if they were separated, the Egyptians would not come check if she was pregnant. This way he hoped to save the wife and the baby. But once he separated from his wife, the Gemara says likewise, I'm to call Yisrael. So everyone says, if the Gadol Hadar, the Rosh Sanhedrin, is doing this, v'gerashu es nishosei. And what did everyone else do? They also divorced their wives. Amrlo Bito, his daughter, who showed her face, Pua, to her father, said, Gezeirascha kasha mishal Paro, you, the Gadol Hadar, the Rosh Sanhedrin, your Gezeira is worse than Paro. Shaparo lo gazar el al hazcharim. Paro said, kill the males, but not the females. Ata al hazcharim unikevos, but your gozer on who? The males and the females. You're not letting anyone be born because if a man separates from his wife, there will be no Jewish children at all. Paro Rashahu. Miriam continues, Paro's a wicked person. Ugzeira so sofek miskayemes. Sofek ena miskayemes. Maybe Paro's a rasha. Maybe his decree will come true, but Hashem's in charge. Maybe his decree won't come true. Aval atot tzadik. We have a principle, tzadik gozer, v'akosh baruch hu mekayem. You are a tzadik, u'gzeirascha miskayemes. And certainly what will happen, whatever you do will be upheld. If you separate from your wife, and now all of Knesset Yisrael separated from their wives, you're ensuring the end of Knesset Yisrael. Ah, so what did he do? Aman hu v'hechzer as ishto. What did he do? He went back and he retook. And that's why it says, v'yetze ish mi beis levi, v'yikach es bas levi. He remarried his wife, Amdu Kol Yisrael, the Hechziru Nishoseihem. All of Israel went, and what did they do? Remarried their wives. Heve Pua, Shehofia Panim Keneged Aviha. So one of the reasons the Medrash concludes that she is called Pua is because she turns her face to who? Her father. And in her merit, her father remarried his wife, and Bnei Yisrael were saved. So we have a lot of reasons here. They beautified the child. They cooed to the child. When everyone said the child was dead, they lightened the child. When the little girl spoke up to Paro, the mother said, don't listen to her. She's only five. You're listening to a five-year-old. You're the most powerful person. They poured wine on the baby. They cleaned up the blood from the baby. She went to her father, and in a sense, she gave him mussar. She showed her face to her father. What do you think you're doing? So it's very, very interesting, and also very beautiful to see the courage of these righteous women, keeping in mind that they remain nameless. So Shifra and Pua are only nicknames. What should I call it? Nicknames, really, or a definition of what they did to earn those names. Who was Miriam? How great was Miriam? So we know Beferish. We don't have to look for Mamre Chazal. And Parshas Beshalach, 15:20-21, and Parshas Beshalach, Shemos, Tesvav is Az Yashir. And right after the men sing Shira, you have the pasuk that tells you, Vatikach Miriam Hanavia. Oh, Vatikach Miriam Hanavia. Achos Aaron is a tof biyada, but they tain a call nashim mecharev betupim umecholos. All the women go out singing and dancing. They just crossed the Reed Sea. Some of us learned in Yehoshua when they crossed the Yarden River. Here they cross the Reed Sea. And Miriam takes the tambourine, and everyone goes after her. How is she identified as a Neviah? So I don't need to go to Mamre Chazal to tell me she was a Neviah. The Chumash tells me, Beferush, Perek Tesvav, Pasuchav, that this woman is a prophetess. Rashi asks a famous question, where did they have tambourines from? So what does Rashi say? Famous? So, Muvtachos Hayut Sidkanios Bador. The righteous woman of that generation had such bitachon, muftachos, bitachon, shabadar shakosh barchu osalhem nisim, shautziu tupim in Mitzrayim. You know, at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we can't imagine, I'm sure it was a chaotic time. They have to ask for the gold and silver, and they have to get the babies and the five-year-old. You know, even today in Eretz Yisrael, you see the three-year-old being led by the six-year-old. It's not such a question on the Medrash. How could Miriam be helping with the baby? So the kids are slapping the little kids, and somebody's trying to bake matzah, and the dough's not rising. And you have to ask for the gold and silver because it was part of the promise of the Bispei Absarim. And Moshe standing by the river, Ali Shur, total chaos. And some woman says, wait, we need tambourines? That's what you're thinking about tonight. Muftachus hayut sukanio shabadar, shakosh baruch hu oso lahem nisim votziu tupim mitzrayim. Otherwise, where do they have tambourines from to sing Shira Tashem? That was their degree of bitachon. So she is a neviah, and she is the leader. And the Be'er Miriam was in her merit for all 40 years in the desert. That's why when she dies, the water dries up. Parshas Chukas. And it's very interesting to consider that what does Rashi choose to tell me? Why is she called Puah? After we have gone through the Medrash, there are many reasons why she is called Puah, and all of them are important. But what does Rashi record for posterity? Yeah. And you know, most of us, when we're learning, even myself, when I'm learning Chumash with Rashi, I don't generally always go back to check the original source. So what does Rashi want you to remember about Pua? Poo, 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 coo, 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 coochie, coochie, coo. That's what Rashi wants you to remember, which is pretty unbelievable, considering the goddess of who Miriam was. She was a Neviah. In a sense, she had far more far-reaching vision than her father had. I think I didn't quote something that I wanted to quote, because I just said that. I didn't quote something I want to quote, so I'm going back. Okay, so I'm quoting from Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky is quoted by the Art Scroll Medrash in the bottom insight. The exchange between Amram and his daughter is puzzling. If Amram, the leading sage of the generation, he's the Gadol Dor according to the Gemara and Sota, and he is the Rosh Sanhedrin according to the Medrash here, he went so far as to curtail Jewish family life. He must have concluded that there was no hope to Paro's decree. We're not talking about, you know, a man of Mr. Joe Schmo anonymity who doesn't understand the matzav here. He was a great person. What did Miriam say that gave him hope? And how could she, a young child, see more clearly than her great father? So, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal, in his MS Liakov, contends Amram was correct. Logically speaking, once Paro issued his decree and showed his determination to fully enforce infanticide, there was no hope of avoiding the consequences. But Miriam, the Nevi'ah, Miriam, the Jewish woman, did not restrict herself to a logical perspective. As a woman, I'm mamash quoting, she was endowed with extra discernment. It's Nida 45b, Bina Yisera, Nasna Le'isha Yoser Mi Be'ish, because when Hashem creates the woman, Bereshis 2:22, Vayikach Min Hatzela, and it says, Vayivein Es Ha'isha, Hashem built the woman, Vav Yud Beis Nun, it's a new shoresh that appears in terms of creation, 1:27, Vayivra Elokim Es Ha'adam, 2:7, Vayitzar Hashem Elokim Es Ha'adam, 2:22, Vayivein Hashem Elkim Esatzela Shalakach. So by man, you have Vayivra and Vayitzar, but by woman, you have a new word, which is Vayivain. Vav Yod and He Basement. So the Gemara in Nida 45b says, Bina Yesera. What is Vayivain? The same root as Bina, intuition, understanding, wisdom. A measure of wisdom was invested into the woman more than in the man. So the Titan Emes Liakov, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says, as a woman, she was endowed with this extra discernment, and it is a different mode of reasoning that goes beyond logic. So logically, Amram was right. Logically, there was no hope. But Knesset Yisrael, our survival is completely illogical. And Miriam, it's totally illogical, makes no sense. And Miriam, with her Bina Yisera, understood that. Miriam's advantage was that she perceived with her feminine intuition that despite all the evidence to the contrary, Paro's decree would not stand. There was no conventional recourse available. So Amram was right. But higher forces would intervene. And it was Miriam with her Bina Yisera who understood that, not Amram, the Gadol Hador and Rosh Sanhedrin. So she was a tremendously great person. Let me say, b'schus nashim tzidkanius, but also hadar, nigalu Yisrael Mitzrayim. Miriam really led the way. Muftachos hayu, she took a tambourine. She was an extremely courageous, wise, I don't know the word. We've just spoken a little bit about her. What are you saying? Intuitive, but she used her intuition to save the people. About what does Rashi say? She would coo to the baby. So in this very beautiful book, Shalom Rav, by Shalom Rosner on the Parsha, he speaks about this. He quotes the pasuk that the king of Egypt said to the Mialdos HaIvrio, Shema Achashifra, Shkneim HaShenis Pua. Who are these two midwives? Chazal tell us they were Yochaved and Miriam. So we went through a much longer piece in the Medrash, and we understand that there are different opinions. The majority holds they were Miriam and Yochaved, not Yochaved and Elishava Bas Aminadav. And we've seen many reasons why they were called Shifra and Pua. But then he quotes Rashi, where Rashi says they beautified the child, Shifra, and they cooed to the child, Pua. What was so significant, writes Rabbi Shalom Rosner, about beautifying and coddling the babies, that their names are not their names in the Torah text, but rather after the actions of cleaning up the blood and cooing to the child. These details, he said, seem so inconsequential compared to the big picture of what Yochaved and Miriam accomplished, which is what we're speaking about. Look at the big picture. We're here because of them. She was greater in a sense than her father, the Gadol Hador. She led the woman with tambourines and dances. They had such bitachon that Hashem would do nisim for them. So he quotes Rav Yeruchim Levavitz, that's all. who suggests these seemingly little actions were tremendous. Rashi wants to teach us something. You know, what's Rashi's question is a one mode of learning Rashi, and then what's Rashi's answer? Because Rashi always has a question. He just doesn't usually state the question, but Rashi always has a question. So Rashi's question is, why were they called Shifra and Pua? And what does Rashi choose to tell you? They beautified and cooed to the babies. That's what I have to know. Every mother beautifies and coos to her baby. And so does every five-year-old sister beautify and coo to her baby. That's what I need to know. You have nothing else to tell me? So Rav Yeruchim Levavitz Zatzal suggests these seemingly little actions were tremendous. Great people take little things and make them great. A great person views the smallest detail in context, seeing every tiny factor as an opportunity to come closer to Hashem. Every small act in reality is great. Small people are the opposite. They take great things and trample them, minimizing the truly tremendous opportunities. All they were doing was coddling the babies, which seems like such a small act, but in actuality, they were saving Am Yisrael. They were giving them a chance to survive. Therefore, they are defined by seemingly small actions that are really the greatest of achievements. And there's no such thing as a big opportunity or a small opportunity, says Rav Yeruchim. Rather, it all depends on us. And now Rabbi Rosner finishes by quoting a story from the Gemara. Turnus Rufus asked Rabbi Akiva, if Hashem loves poor people so much, why doesn't he provide them with enough money to sustain themselves? Rabbi Akiva answered, he's giving us opportunity to become great, to earn merit from ourselves. That's Bava Basra, Yud Amid Aleph. So then Rabbi Rosner ends, every piece is very short, it's a very nice sefer, Shalom Rav. Someone gave it to me for Chanukah, she's not here, but we could tell that I quoted from it. He ends with a Musar Haska, and he says, when we drive carpool, do we have this in mind? When we pick up a grocery item from the store that our parents may have asked us, or our neighbor asked us, do we have this in mind? We're fulfilling the mitzvah of educating our children. We're fulfilling the mitzvah of honoring your parents. You're fulfilling the mitzvah of v'ahavta l'recha kamocha. Every little act can be turned into something great. We need to look at the small things in life and realize the amazing impact it has. It's the little things that make a great person. We spend so much of our time in our day doing little things. Most of our day is spent doing little things. We have to realize that each of those little things is a tremendous opportunity for our Kiddush Hashem. We don't spend our day necessarily doing big things. We go to work, we do the laundry, I'm not joking. We cook supper, we have appointments, you might drive your kids somewhere, in between that you daven, but we spend our day doing small things. And what does Rashi want you to remember about Shifra and Pua? They beautified the child. Isn't that a normal thing for a mother to do? But see it as godless. When you're involved in the small things in life, realize that's one of the secrets of the continuity of Knesset Yisrael. It's taking the small things and making them great. It's so empowering. It gives so much meaning to all the little mundane things we spend so much time running after in life. It's the small things that define us, says Rav Yeruchim. It's the small things that give us our name. Remember how we started this year? How do you find your name in a book of no names? When you look at Klal Yisrael, we're just one people. So how does every individual stand out when there's such a mess? Make sure you define your name. And remember, the small things really do count. One year on the eve of Yom Kippur, Rav Salvechik traveled to the cemetery to daven at his wife's cave. It doesn't say that. I shouldn't say that. I don't know. It says it brought down to visit his wife's grave. I assume that maybe some Tilma said, but you should never assume. He was approached by two non-observant Jews. They did not recognize him, but they judged from his appearance that this man was a rabbi. They asked if he could accompany them to their parents' grave and recite a prayer. So the Rav obliged. They mentioned their brother was also buried in the cemetery, and now they asked the Rav if he would accompany them to their brother's grave as well. Again, the Rav graciously complied. Declining repeated offers they wanted to pay him, the Rav wished them well and returned to his waiting car. A cemetery official had witnessed the entire scene, and after Salvechik departed, he went over to these two non-observant individuals, and he said, "Do you know who that rabbi was?" And they say, "No." So he told them who the anonymous rabbi was. They were stunned. It's so great a persona burdened with vast responsibilities for the klal diverted time and energy to address the needs of two unknown, anonymous, unobservant Jews. 2 weeks later, Maimonides Day School received a letter with a check for $1,000. Please accept our donation in tribute of Rabbi Soloveitchik. We are the two anonymous Jews he so graciously and affectionately assisted at the cemetery on the eve of the Day of Atonement. Never know how the smallest action can have the greatest impact. I really think it's such a chizuk. I spend a lot of time, and I'm sure you also spend a lot of time doing mundane things. When I sweep the floor, I try and remember the Kohanim had to do the Trumas Hadeshen. I'm serious, giving myself some chizuk. I'm thinking of all the better things I could be doing while I'm cleaning. But that's not necessarily correct. If you're beautifying a Jewish home, and if you're doing something important for your children, like cleaning and cooing to them, that's the most important thing. And if you're helping two anonymous Jews in a cemetery, not for fame and not for kavod and not because you're doing something for the klal, but you're just doing something for the one, a small act. Says Rav Yerucham, how did Rabbi Rosner word it? He had such a beautiful line. Great people take little things and make them great. And that was Shifra and Pua. It's really not so surprising to any of us women in this room that a mother, a Jewish woman, would clean a baby and a five-year-old girl would coot a baby. I mean, what is even the chiddush here? It's really not even a chiddush. But that's the point. It's not a chiddush. We would all have done the same thing. But make it great while you're busy with something small. That's the key to redemption. That's the key to the process of geula. That's how you find your shame. In the book of Shemos, and make yourself a vehicle, a merkava, says the Ramban, where the Ribon Sha'olam wants to dwell. It's great to be involved in big things, but sometimes it's even greater to be involved in the small things. I'm sure some of you saw this because it was going around. I tried to print it up, but sometimes my printer has a mind of its own. Most times it doesn't, Baruch Hashem. So I'm reading from the screenshot. I'm sure some of you saw it because it's going all over the place. Okay? This woman is Rosemary Yakono. She was a worker. She is a worker at MetLife Stadium. There have only been a handful of events at MetLife Stadium that have so totally moved me emotionally during my tenure since 2001. So she's been there since 2001. The Sima Shas was on January 1st, 2020, almost 20 years. Today qualified as one of the most emotionally moving events. Despite the horrific hate crimes as of late, Jews defied fear. They chose to rise above what would have been the natural instinct to postpone. And they did so with real joy, the likes of which I probably will not see again. While I love my faith, this is not a Jewish woman, I would never look elsewhere. There's a sense of community that these people truly embrace. This was her Facebook post. This is a screenshot of this woman's Facebook post. These people truly embrace, which can't help but be envied by its counterparts. It was a genuine pleasure to be part of this experience. That only occurs once every 7 years. In all likelihood, I will not be employed by the stadium for the next round. However, it's extremely likely that I will attend as a spectator. Yeah, for sure, one for the bucket list. And how does that Kiddush Hashem come about? 95,000 people. By every single person saying thank you. By each individual rising to his or her own challenge. Every individual makes up the klal. The klal is great, made up by small actions and great actions of every single individual. I don't know if this exactly ties into Shir, but I wanted to say it. I don't know if anybody read Mishpacha this past Shabbos, but I could not stop crying. The cover story, I was crying, though it was Friday night, every page I was crying. My daughter comes in to the den, the memory show, she says, Mommy, what's wrong? I said, no, it's okay. She goes to get me a box of tissues. She says, are you okay? But I wasn't crying like Avelis, Chas V'Shalom, like just Simcha, Mika Amcha Yisrael. So the cover story was on the Siyum Hashas, but each page was different vignettes from the Siyume Hashas all over the world. So in Los Angeles, 1,800 people packed the Royce Hall at UCLA to celebrate the Seum. Certain honors were given out. One honor went to LA native Sal Litvak of the Accidental Talmudist blog. Has anyone heard of him by show of hands? I never did. Okay, Accidental Talmudist blog. Years back, Sal Litvak sought out an Orthodox shul in which to say Kaddish after he watched his grandmother, a Holocaust survivor, who somehow got his mother through to resin stamp, breathe her last breath. So his grandmother, who somehow managed to save his own mother in the Gehenim of Nazi journey into Theresienstadt, passed away, and he was not observant, and he wanted to say Kaddish. Although Litvak was uninspired by the non-from Judaism of his youth, he was surprised when he found the Orthodox services inspiring and interesting. So he sat in on some of the shiurim, and the rabbi a few times mentioned the word Talmud, and Litvak became intrigued. So he went to the mitzvah store, one of LA's Sfarim stores, and he chose a large leather-bound tome, Gemar Brachos. So he takes it to pay, and the friendly cashier says, "Are you doing Daf Yomi?" This guy's not religious. Okay? He has no background. He ends up in a shul because he wants to take college for his grandmother. Litvak looked at the store cashier blankly. He did not know what Daf Yomi was. The cashier explained this daily program of study, and Litvak turned that day into day one of the 7.5-year Daf Yomi cycle. With no previous Jewish education, he dived in and committed himself to a local daily shiur. And 14 years later, he has just celebrated his second Siyum Hashas. I'm not sure if it really relates to this year so much, because it's a great action that makes Knesset Yisrael great, but I wanted to share. It's so inspiring. And the cashier was really just being friendly. How much does it cost us to be friendly? Nothing. You never know how one kind word and the smallest action can have the biggest impact on somebody else and the biggest impact upon our people. You even see this in the book of Shemos itself. When we come to Matan Torah, we're reading about, we started with the Ramban. We already established that the path to redemption does not end after Beshalach with physical freedom. Yes, from Mishpatim, by the giving of the Torah, and then the Mishkan. And when you make yourself as a people and yourself as an individual, as we're understanding, a vehicle, a Merkava, a Shrina, then you have Geula. So it's interesting. Parshas Yisro is the giving of the Torah on the macro level. There's thunder, there's lightning, there's a great sound of God that does not stop, the mountain is shaking, the people are trembling. The Torah was given the base Yaakov, the Tagid, the Bnei Yisrael. It was given to the Klal as a whole. But that's Parshas Yisro is followed by Mishpatim. And what's Mishpatim? Laws between the individual, the small details of living as a Jew. Kisikne Evid Ivri, Sheishanim Ya'avod, Bashvis, Yetzi Lechavshi, Ma'ake Ish, Vameis Mos Yumas. If two men are fighting and one hits his friend with a stone or with a fist, what should happen? If a shore gores, what should happen? What is the godless Mishpatim? As it follows Yisro, Yisro is the great, over the top, one time revelation. The Mishpatim is the small details. And we can't live without the small details. We can't live without the cooing and the beautifying the baby. The greatness is that they saved Knesset Yisrael. The smallness that's really great is how they saved Knesset Yisrael. I saw a beautiful verse by Rav Elimelech Biderman. Why did Chazal put Pirkei Avos into Seder Nezikin? What's Nezikin?
Damages,
the laws of damages. So Pirkei Avos is Mishnah, Mishnayos. And if you look at what Seder, it's Seder Nezikin damages. Why is it in Seder Nezikin damages? So Rav Elimelech Biderman says the biggest mazik is one who does not know how to be a mensch. Pirkei Avos teaches you how to be a mensch. Greet everybody with a smile, try to be a man, be happy with your lot, carry the burden with your friend. One who does not know how to make the small actions great is the biggest mazik. And that's really the story of Miriam and Yochaveh that's recorded for eternity by Rashi. Rashi could have told us a lot of things by Shifra and Pua. We just looked in the Medrash. And Rashi could have quoted from the Gemara also. What does Rashi choose to tell you? The small action really saved the nation. And that's Mishpatim and Yisro. You can remember the smoke and the thunder and the lightning and the awe, but you have to know how to be a mensch. One who does not know Pirkei Avos, who does not study how to be a mensch, is the greatest mazik. I think something interesting, that when Hashem called to our great leaders, we see sometimes a double lashon. Okay? So on Bereshis Perach of Beis, by the Akedah, Vayikra Elav Malach Hashem Min HaShemayim, the angel of mercy calls out to Avram, just as he is about to shecht his son, Vayomer Avram, Avram, Hineini. We just had it. Yaakov Avinu is going down to Egypt, and Hashem appears to him in night visions, and he says, Yaakov, Yaakov, Hineini. Rashi says, Elashon Chiba, denotes love. Moshe, this week's parsha, and Hashem sees he turned to look at the burning bush, can't understand, and Hashem calls him from the burning bush, and he says to him, Moshe, Moshe, and he says, Hineini. And finally, Sefer Shmuel, Shmuel Aleph, Parak Gimel, Pasuk Yud, and Hashem came, and he stood, and he calls again to Shmuel, Shmuel. And Shmuel finally realizes it's Hashem. In the beginning, he doesn't know who's coming to him. Shmuel, Shmuel. So you see a double lashon. Avram, Avram. Yaakov, Yaakov. Moshe, Moshe. They all answer Hineini. And finally, Shmuel, Shmuel. So I was thinking perhaps Rabbi Mordechai Torchina from Toronto has a beautiful vart on this. I actually saved it. He had an article on this double calling in the YU Torah to go Rosh Hashanah 5774, 6 years ago. And I saved that YU to go. It was such an impactful article. He says that one calling is to the person and one calling is to the generations. So in every generation, there will be an Avram, someone Jewish blood is sacrificed, Rachmana Litzah. We know it to be true. Just had the attack of Mansi, and before that, Jersey City. And we know that in every generation, the Akedah is a difficult calling of the Jew. So one is talking to Avram, Avram Avinu. And one is saying, it's a calling to the generations. What about Yaakov? Yaakov is going into Galus. Yaakov, the person, is going into Galus. And Knesset Yisrael will be destined to go into Galus. Moshe, everyone, every Jew, he says, must leave their comfort zone to do what's right, b'shem Hashem, to go save your fellow Jew. Every Jew in every generation. So Moshe was called as Moshe Rabbeinu at the snare. And the second calling is for the generations. Finally, Shmuel, he says, everyone is required to hear the call of God to speak the truth even when it is uncomfortable. Shmuel ultimately had to go to Eli and tell him that his son sinned. So Marchai Tuchi, it's a much lengthier piece. There's a beautiful psha where he says the first calling is to the individual and the second calling is the call to the generations. But I was thinking perhaps based on our shir, we could say something else. The first calling is the public persona. Each one of us make up the klal. So the first calling is to the klal. But the second calling is you as an individual find your name. You as an individual rise to the task. The first calling is Hashem saying you are part of a klal. We're all part of a klal. You cannot escape. Al tifush min tzibra. We wouldn't want to escape from the klal. But the second calling of the double calling is to know that you have to find your unique koach as an individual person. From the smallest actions to the greatest actions. Make a name for yourself. Shame both. Make a name for yourself. And that leads to Geula. I thought it was interesting, after all of this, to consider that we're called after Yaakov, who's Yisrael. We're not called the Bnei Avram, and we're not called the Bnei Yitzchak. We're called the Bnei Yisrael. Avram, Hashem said, Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Hei, V'lo yikara od eshimcha Avram. Mar says, whoever calls Avraham, Avram is a sinner. You're not allowed to call him Avram. Why is he called Avraham? V'hayir shimcha Avraham ki av hamon goyim nesaticha. I've made you a father of the multitudes. Yitzchak, chaf aleph pasuk vav. V'tomer sara, tzchok asali elokim. Kol hashomea yitzachak li. God has made a rejoicing. Whoever hears will rejoice for me. So these two names, Avram and Yitzchak, represent the essence of klal, a large group. But what is Yisrael? We have a change. Kisa Risa. Yeah, but who are we talking about? A Yachid. One individual. Avram, Avraham. Avhamon Goyim Nesaticha. You're the father of multitudes. Yitzchak, Kol Hashomei Yitzchakli. But what's the difference? Yisrael is you. Kisa Risa. You overcame as an individual. If you want to be a successful part of the klal, you have to find your individual voice. You have to find your individual name. In Birkas Yaakov, he didn't just give them one collective bracha. We just had a perek mem tes. He gave each one of his sons an individual bracha. Each of those individuals doing their small individual acts comes together to make up the grand total of the klal. But we have to recognize the godless of Sefer Shamos. It's all this anonymity. It's all this anonymity. But in the anonymity, you have small actions that make great people and that make a great nation and that leads to the Sefer HaGeula. We are called after the patriarch whose name indicates the struggle of the individual to overcome. Of course, with the B'nai Avram. We're part of the Av Hamon Goyim. And of course, with the B'nai Yitzchak, Kol HaShomeh, Kol HaShomeh. It's just everyone. But Yisrael is the name that speaks about you. Every Jew must struggle and quarrel. Not quarrel, struggle. But every Jew must overcome. Every Jew must see the great godless in the smallest things in life. Which really is interesting because it was Yaakov who went back across the river for the... And there's such a question on what was he doing. He's going back for the small jars, who cares? But perhaps it fits so beautifully into our shir. He understood the great value in the smallest, in the teeniest of actions. And that's the final lesson, perhaps, of Yaakov Avinu as we segue into the book of Shmos. El Shmos b'nei Yisrael ha-ba'im mitzrayimah. Yisrael represents every Jew finding the smallest things in life and making them great. Says Yeruchim Levovitz that it is the small things that make great people. And how do we remember Miriam and Yocheved? As two women who beautified and cleaned and cooed to the babies. That's godless. That's just normal. It's the smallest actions that give you your name, Sefer Shemos, that ultimately make you part of the klal, Parshas Yisro, when you realize Parshas Mishpatim, that life is about the small actions between man and fellow man that make you the Merkava L'Shechina, Chumet Tzavik Tisa V'Yalka Pekudei, where the Shechina wants to dwell, and finally then we will reach Geula. So if you remember, it's a big chizuk, and it was in the schus of these Nashim Tzidkanios, in that generation, in every generation, that the ultimate Geula should come, came, and Be'ezras Hashem, should come immediately in our days. Thank you very much, everybody.